And joining us for the first time all the way from Middleton is Jerry Buckley. Can you get us going?
My apologies, but you know, when they came to record the Portrait O'Keefe, you know, in the late 40s, you know, she would, he described the microphone that I was the turkey's head. Now, this is a true story, but I have to stress there was no judgment. But I bet it was a man from Kilfin and Rose, right? Now, a neighbour of his out the country, a farmer, he was helping the widow woman out on the farm, but there was no truth in it. I mean that now. And then there was a bit of gossip, and he was telling John about it. And by the way, it's actually what brings us all together anyway. And it's called A Tone by John O'Donnell. By the way, I never done electricity in school, so you have to just bear with me. It's lolling dead within your mouth, that mammoth when you stick it out. It's used a lot to talk and leak, to wet a stamp and make it stick. And used a lot to slag and slate and sometimes to congratulate. The innocent were often hung by evidence of vicious tongue. Tongues will taste and also wag, can also praise as well as nag. Will spit the vision and disdain a willing mouthpiece for the brain. And it's known sometimes to slip and often late to pull the zip. Your 2 feet ankle deep and down and getting mouthfuls of cold tongue. The gossipers and chatterbox, the wagging tongues will rattle, but tongues as sharp as razor blades, inflating tittle-tattle. In youthful times on the lookout, sweet serenades were sung, with passing years those melodies, all tarnished by the tongue. It's folly to vexate one's foes, that's how one hits the deck. Thinking twice is good advice, and keep that tongue in check. Sagacity should be the rule, their tongue should dirt deposit. You'd be a mule to act a fool, there's bones in every closet. Now, as I've a long way home, I'll just do a second one and then I'll be out of your way. By the way, I feel kind of like an erratic stone here because we do have one thing in common. You're all very literary, I'm semi-literate by the way. And the other thing, of course, is that some of my children are older than most of you, by the way. Now, I'm going to chant a song, and it's a Cork song actually, but by another seaside town. It actually came about as a result of a landlord trying to promote his cider. So this is Johnny Jump Up by Clyde George. I'll tell you a story that happened to me. One day as I went down to y'all by the sea, the sun it was bright and the day it was warm. Says I, a quiet pint won't do me no harm. I went in and I called for a bottle of stout. Says the barman, I'm sorry, all the beer is sold out. Try whiskey or brandy, 10 years in the wood. Says I'll try cider, I've heard it was good. Never again. If I live till a 110, but I fell to the ground and I couldn't get up. After drinking a quart of that Johnny Jump Up, after loading the tort, I made straight for the yard, where I bumped into Brophy, the big civic gal. Come here to me, boy, don't you know I'm the law? Well, I up with me fist and I shattered his jaw. He fell to the ground with his knees doubled up, but it wasn't I hit him, 'twas Johnny Jump Up. The next thing I met down in the yawl by the sea was a cripple on crutches, and says he to me, I'm afraid of my life, I'll get hit by a car, won't you take me across to the railway man bar? After drinking a quart of that cider so sweet, he threw down his crutches and danced on his feet. So if ever you go down to Yawl by the sea, stay out of the 8 house and take it from me. If you want to stay sane, don't you dare take a sup of that devil's drink cider called Johnny Jump Up. Oh never again. If I live till 110, but I fell to the ground and I couldn't get up after drinking a quart of the Johnny Jump Up.
Don't be in a while, good Sharon. You come back. We'll have David Jackson next week.
I feel like I'm after a Johnny Jump Up myself. Not from the drink, but just because it's actually a full moon tonight. And I always get really jittery on full moons. I'm a bit of a lunatic that way. So I'd like to do 2 poems, but if they're too long, because we're kind of long, so by the time I get to the second one, just cut me off, because we've been going too long. So the first piece is it's from a chapbook I just finished recently called Good Morning the World. And it's 9 poems, and they're all tied together with a narrative, so really it's like one big story. So I'm going to take you like one snippet from that story. And this first piece, it's called Preconditioned. And it's about the conditioning we get all our life from when we're small to as we're older, the things that we're told and the things that, you know, we believe and make it a part of ourselves, but it may not be true. We've just been conditioned to think that way. So this poem is about that and about realizing, you know, coming conscious of it. So hope you enjoy it. Preconditioned. I'm feeling timeless, not only without an end, but without a beginning. Slipping in and out of different lives I am living. Spider web spinning or past to the future committed. Connected intrinsic to the now in the middle. We are bound to the swivel of vibratory sounds of the children. Born of the soul stars rippling through our system. For too long a time. Have minds been preconditioned to live in an opposition which limits and blocks vision? Only in the land of the blind can you profit from image. Turn an individual into a lost lyric. Cough clearance, spit sincerence. Deaf ears, they won't hear it. Preconditioned to fear is the home that they hold nearest. We are unaware of the time when the soul we hold dearest, shape-shifting like the crone of St. Bridget, from stone to tree to crow as death goes and revisits. I see no difference between. Each dream is infinite. Each dream I've been in it and everyone else with it. Remember yourself wholly, only without limits. Fold and renounce fiction. of nouns that describe wisdom as only inside scripture pronounced with correct diction. It's a fact. Fat lies fly further than pigeons. The words that are scripted inside the holy text that you live with are only a pixel of truth inside your own inner image. Own it and live it. Preconditioned personas are just a clone of a gimmick. Know that your spirit is more than bones and appearance. They say home is where the heart is. And though I'm standing here with it, sometimes it's the hardest to find planning permission. So stand out from the image that they told you you should fit in. They tell you fill in lines of the contracts you are given and do not magnify the underlined fine printed. I swear, if you can find stillness in this monkey jungle of junkie-minded minions, then we can jump through time until reality is shifted. In totality, every man and woman is cooking soul food dishes mixed with the wishes of a whole new mission. Those who enlisted were chosen from the gifted so the planet could be lifted from the manic preconditions that manage our existence. The habits from our history that drag into the present hang upon our memories and famine our expression. These weights without handles do not challenge our acceptance. They only serve to crush our nerves and add to our depression. That's why I can't ignore the message that summons me to menace and rummage through the muck of daily struggle that we step in. I reach and pull up those who pull down what is separate and join them in the unity that's soon to be elected. Whether tuned or untuned, to me, your soul's song sounds sexy. For so long, I have so longed to hold you with these cold palms if you would let me. I would rub these hands together for an eternity, just to get a burst of heat warm enough to brush your hair behind your ear without disturbing sleep. That is the love for you which stirs in me. Learn to love yourself through the eyes of what the other sees. I heard it's not the night, but the day that hides the real. We are moving in a movie, and it's time to cut the reel. But it's not the end, it's just the lens adjusting to the scene. So muster up the courage to hush your worried speech and usher in a gust of love to sail us across the seas and save us from our islands of preconditioned dreams. Thank you. Just before I leave, if you like that or you would like to hear any of the stuff on the chapbook, the whole chapbook is recorded on audio. And just this week I put up a website and you can download them there for free if you're interested and you'd like to hear it. The website is davidjackson.co.com. So check it out. Thank you.
DavidJackson.co.com. We have Shane Vaughan, fresh from Standards on Friday. Here, Shane Vaughan up to the mic, please.
Thank you, Ciarán, for mentioning Standards. That segues lovely into what I was about to say. So for anyone who doesn't know, I run a poetry prose night in Limerick called Standards. We make books once a month of Munster, Irish writing, that kind of thing. And if you were here in December for our O'Vale's last event of the 2015 year, I read a poem, part one of the Peach Poems. So I'm going to read you part two, and if you'd like to see part three, please do buy my book. Yeah, sneaky that way. But yeah, it does help Stanzas out. Yeah, if you like art, you'll like it. So this is part two. I ate the peach. I ate it. I fucking loved it. It tasted as a peach should. Sweet. The pulp of the flesh, fleshy. I rolled it around my mouth, I sucked it dry, I skinned it with my teeth, nibbled on the sour layer, compared the skin to the flesh. It was glorious. It was everything I wanted, and more. I wanted more. I made my way down to the kitchen, and there I peeled bananas, stripped grapes from the vine, plucked tomatoes. I curled a slice of ham up and stuffed it into my mouth, vomited, then moved to the bread, the gluten-free stuff only you eat, and I ate that too. I microwaved the popcorn, let the freezer defrost, did the dishes so I could fill the plates again, then sat by the window and smoked all your housemates' cigarettes. Until the packet was empty. And then I reached for my own. Until the packet was empty. Until I was empty. Until everything was empty. Except the street filled with smoke. And the bin filled with husk. So if you'd like to see how it ends.
Pretty cool. Thanks.
Seamus Harrington, please.
Thanks, Kieran. Open mic. I thought I saw you once behind the hayloft door before the Christmas break. Some Monday night drop in just after 9 o'clock. While some may read a piece and others sing a song, some more just lend an ear, they like to stand around. There's always ample room below the horse's head. The muse may breathe a word. The McNamara slam, renowned both far and wide, and then the guest comes on. So what if you don't write? Come meet our famed MC. Each name is on his sheet. I feel you're not too sure. Survey the pros and cons. I know, but what the heck? The crowd is on your side. Do I come here a lot? You bet, indeed I do. No rush, just take your time. When asked if you're all set, you could reply, I am.
Questions. We have Jude O'Neill next, please.
Hey. So I've read this before, some of you may have heard it, just a couple of you, but I edited it slightly for the liking the changes.
Thank you.
Not yet broken. The flagstones numb my toes, and my knees move so slowly, wandering silent along this dull, dark fall. I don't notice the sun rising until it has, spilling its light from the cracks in the curtains. And then suddenly that dawn chorus breaks sweetly my dream away. From thinking about him.
Thanks a lot, Jude. Okay, Patricia Walsh to the mic, please.
I wrote a poem today, and there's a title called Dogma, and it's just tacked on, but for want of a better word, I might as well stick with it. Dogma. Must I wind up the clock everlasting to cut myself in deeds irrelevant now, or tremble on fantasies denying my peace to the effect of washing down sleeping dogs? A rotting cliche tells the hour, safe my bed, a danger-doomed large, irrelevant nothing but a slumbering peace, You should wear peace and land asleep. The past is obliterated, at least should be. Some happiness is foretold, remembered slyly. A foothold to encounter I will sort to, on condition of forgetting a dream foretold. The time is kept meticulously, regurgitating past the feet with accuracy. The failure is rubbed in with salt stark precision, eating kisses that meant for you or me. Some nasty prophecies burst their banks, showing your sensibility is all and sundry. Reneging on promises misheard at one time, witness to frustration most of the time. Some burning archive trips up the soul, the limits of endurance stretch to local jokes. The day will become when I forget, the bowing breath throw takes my peace. Thank you.
It's a good day. And it's really hammering next week.
Alright, this is called The Hinch. The Hinch. A seaside village whose narrow bounds were the horizon of childish fantasy. A Shangri-La of dodgings and slot machines and a beach of sandy infinity. Together we changed among the rocks, rushed to meet the Atlantic wave, letting them break over us again and again, drawing sheer joy from nature's bounty. Our dip finished, then perhaps to go winkle hunting while the tide was out, filling our buckets with those black sea snails which would be boiled at home. To become snack food for the next week. Also limpets kicked off the stones, which were my father's favorite seafood. Not to forget the seagrass, salty and leathery, bought on the promenade. I visit the old place now, and time has not been kind. The amusement palace looks so much smaller than in my youth. The prom chewed up by winter storms, and the beach steepened to a narrow strip where only meager joy could be eked. I know it is not summer, but even so, the memory outdistances the current reality by miles in my sentiment.
Thanks a lot. Rosalind Blue.
Thank you very much. This is dedicated to anybody living with brain injury and specifically everybody at Hedway. That darkness. I am a tiger caught in a web. The spider stung me right in the head. Angels, what task have you given me? What purpose with this fate, this circumstance to last? Patience where no space exists. Reason where emotions rage. The frustration of being stuck in a cage. I'm a tiger caught in a web. The spider stung me right in the head. Kindness and gentleness where compassion is unechoed or buried deep in the wound. Loving where love hides under angry minds about the spider's bite. Letting go of all control, dependent on the help of others. Their words for me, their memory, their accurate clarity, their space for my sleep. In the beginning, even their feet to walk. I'm a tiger caught in a web. The spider stung me right in the head. I could not climb out of that pit alone, and the lessons go on continuing, as others around me need to learn to see, and it falls to me to let them know. Oh angels, the patience required with those who don't know, and those in the higher lofts who decide over me. When I am the one that got hurt, why defend myself? I'm a tiger caught in a web. The spider stung me right in the head. When I'm weak, the dark hole opens, gapes, begins to suck me in by my tears, my throat tight with trauma. Oh, angels, the strength required when that anger rolls over me until it becomes a wave of tears. When I am weak, I try to swallow them, too weak to resist the drag of that darkness gaping just beneath my feet. My soul so tight it hurts, no light, no strength to fight. I am a tiger caught in a web, the spider stung me right in the head. Oh, angels, I have survived. What is your task for me, my lessons, what are you teaching me? To be humble where ego resides, to be serving where control craves for hold, to be patient, a patient alone in a world that wishes to plaster would do and believes that wish is already true, to be gentle and kind while time does its healing and still flows away. I am a tiger caught in a web, the spider stung me right in the head. Stuck in a net of dependency, I can't even pick up where I was. I try myself out as if my old me, clambering, struggling, I push and I shove my powers of mind and I fight. And then the fire burns bright under my skull, makes the eyes heavy, all noises mesh up, system shuts down. Then I stumble and fall down towards that pit again. I am a tiger caught in a web. The spider stung me right in the head. Oh, angels, my wings cannot always break my fall. Oh, angels, what is the purpose of this circumstance to last?
Hi, just a few cynical comments in the selection week. I won't dignify these with the term haiku, but I do like to, the challenge of trying to get everything into the 17 syllables, but I like to cheat also by adding a title. So, laws are there to you. Election time. Have you noticed how politicians are always there when they need you? Common sense. Angry teen to Joan. Shove all your trike taxes charges up your fiscal space. I actually have you. I heard that on Facebook or something. Syrian's choice. They hear us saying, stay at home, face your problems. Die by bomb or sword. FFF whingers. Fianna Fianna Fáil may be the new game in town. Then we'll hear them whinging. In or out? Are we breaking up? Democracy for Europe? Or else TTIP land? Nuke blues. If wind scale goes bang, poisons us like Fukushima, you'll not sell a field. A terrible ugliness. All changed utterly. Now it's 9/11, 24/7. Climate change, no justice. Hurricanes hit hard poor shanty towns, not mansions of oil billionaires. Thanks.
A couple to go now, so we're going to continue with James O'Leary. Woo! Thanks a lot.
I guess like I'm kind of jealous of people who rhyme and do it well, who write in form. So I've been reworking a poem I've been trying to write for years. Institution. At morning bell, I wake to an old sense of dread. I mock the dorm, waiting for something to be said to the newcomer who hasn't yet made his bed. Before meals, the page of the fruit text is read. We have an hour to ourselves after breaking bread, a wasted pacing the floor of the smoking shed. At evening prayer, I am among those who are led to kneel. Supervised by night staff, I bow my head, surrounded by silent monologues to the dead. My first Holy Communion, the Lord's flesh embeds to my palate. I half gulp, cough, it hits tile instead. It's not easy getting spiritually fed.
Thanks a lot. Gabriella? Thanks a lot. We're good news. Thank you.
Some people stop growing before reaching a level. My name is Gabriella. I'm not an English speaker. I just discovered this place here and I'm quite surprised because I never expected as a foreigner to find such a place in the middle of Oliver Plunkett's, special at night when weird things happen. So...
Thanks for the compliment.
Weird is good.
Crazy bastard.
I wasn't really prepared and I wasn't expecting to be able to write something, especially in the language that is not my own. So I just brought one of my things just in case. So it's not going to be the same thing, first of all, because it's going to be translated. So it will never be the same as it's to. It will never be the right word, so it's kind of a fake meaning. In a second point, someone in the audience said that I should pick a poem and I would read it first in my language because people would actually enjoy to hear the song.
Yeah.
And then I would translate it, so...
Yes,
I'm from Portugal, so I would say it in the beginning. I might just make an advice, which is when Portuguese people first reached Japan, we received lots of comments. Two main comments. One was about our attitude and another was about the language. The comments about the attitude were, those weird European people are savages. They have beards, which was something like, it's not sanitary business, we should have beards. They have beards, they wave with their hands. Well, Japan has already forks and everything, so we're polite, we were eating still with our hands. And they speak very loudly. And about the language, they said, and they have a terrible language. They sound like dogs barking. So, I don't know if it's true or not. I hope it's true or not. I hope it's not, because I really
prefer cats. We'll tell
you in a minute. Okay. So, I might read a poem about... it's my introduction about my homeland, because I'm not a nationalist, but I'm patriotic, which are quite different concepts. So I'm going to read first in my language, then I'm going to translate. The poem is called Flor de Sal, that literally means salt flower. So it can be both, ambiguous, it can be both two things. It can be the first. Do you have the concept of what do you call to the first amount of salt that arrives in the beach in the early morning?
We don't have that concept.
Okay. It's
too wet in this country. Breathe.
Okay, supposedly, the first amount of salt that arrives in the beach in every morning for being collected, it's called the salt flower, translated literally from Portuguese. So it can be either the salt flower from the beach, or it can be either a flower made of salt. It's kind of ambiguous.
Okay.
So I'm going to read first in my language.
All right.
Na trova nos céus velada, em ondas que a voz enlaça, vi minha pátria perdida nas calhas da noite que passa. Vi minha pátria perdida nas brumas da manhã fria, erguendo na sombra aguerrida os mastros da nau que se abria. Numa tarde em voz dourada, arrebato em tristes flores, vi minha pátria finada no tardo cimo das horas. Vi minha pátria florir nas mãos da Rainha Santa, tendo por seu porvir cego que o mastro levanta. Minha pátria que aventuro, tristes trovas que lhe dou, chora por um véu escuro o olho que o mar lhe levou. Levou por o ter chorado na canção ao desatino, meu país afogado pelo troco do ouro fino. Mais eu vi no veio claro da água sua que bebeu, duas espadas sem amparo junto ao braço que as perdeu. E mais vida se não for, escudo meu que não terei, armadura sonhadora em que os meus olhos fechei. Na trova, no céu volada, onde já não se enlace, a minha pátria ancorada já não parte, já não passa. Já não servem versos seus, as sereias na água escassa, nem as vozes que em adeus, bem contra preceitos seus, viram partir em desgraça. Mas dos vales vis e fundos que nas trevas a compasso luzem no oceano baço, velhas eras, novos mundos, surge a flor plantada à proa daqueles que ainda a esperam. E nas sombras que revelam a alta voz que doce ecoa, em que o sonho sobrevoa o mar na palma da mão, vai vagando em si cativa, lembrando em voz missiva aos que esperam sem razão, não se perderá quem viva com um salvo no coração. Ouvindo em português.
I hope it doesn't sound like John's Black Eagle. So, I'm trying to translate, but not be the same thing.
No, I don't know.
You said it sounds like.
It sounded like Irish. It was beautiful.
Fair enough.
A Spaniard said to me, "It sounds like drunken Spanish."
Less politics.
Say we're in English before we make any judgments, okay?
It's going to be quite hard to translate this. Okay. In the song hidden by the skies, in tides enloped by the voice, I saw my homeland lost in the rocks of the passing night. I saw my homeland lost in the shadows of the cold dawn, rising in his do you have the word for something that is bellic, like warrior?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Give me a word for that.
Yeah.
Okay. In his shadow, the boats that were opened into flowers. In an afternoon, with a golden voice, singing with sad flowers, I saw my homeland dead among the latest bells of the time, of the hours. I saw my homeland flourishing in the hands of the Holy Queen, having by yours the will, the blind will that his boat wants to follow. My homeland, to which I write these sad verses, cries beyond a black veil, the eye that the sea took from her. It took the eye from her because she cried it in the song, in the song Without Destiny. And I saw my country drowned and sold by pure gold. And I saw in the pure dawn from the water that she drank two helpless swords near the arm that lost them. And I could see much more if it wasn't the shield in which every night I close the eyes in my dreams. And in the songs hidden by the skies and in tides that don't elope anymore, my homeland is at the shore and doesn't sail and doesn't go out anymore. She doesn't ride anymore the mermaids in the deep waters, not even the voices that bid them goodbye. Even against their own perceptions, they saw departing for their own disgrace. But from the deep and dark veils that in shadows they bright in the deep ocean, and the old era is a new world. I can see the flower rising in the, on the top of the boat of those who still wait from her, still wait for her, in the shadows that reveal the high voice that sweet echoes, in which the dream flies the sea in the palm of my hand. It sails lost in itself, and remembering to everyone with his prophetic voice, to those who still wait, even without a reason, it will never be lost, the one who still lives with the salt flower in his heart.
Thank you for the bravery to be able to share that beauty with us in a tongue that isn't your own. And thank you very much for that, absolutely. And for warming us up. We have Mihao, please. We have so much time left, so we have to keep on moving along now. Thanks so much.
Yeah, we'll wait. Thanks, Mr. C. here's a quote from John Lennon. One part of me thinks I'm a loser, and the other part thinks I'm a God Almighty. So in my case, the first part switches in when I have to deal with my daughter. Those who know her, they know that she's an unstable molecule. She's a she's a quark of pure energy and ever exploding supernova. So I did this one for her to keep her from exploding for a minute and a half. It's called a jumping donkey.
We'll be right back.
Brian Cunningham next. Yeah, but still we've got three to go after this. We've got to be really snappy now. Big thank you to our fireman who's just looked after you so well out all night.
It's four long, one sound, it's only 10 or 15 minutes. But definitely on the way down to the parish, trying to find the stairs and go up and stuff, but this is all I have in a long. Words colour my mind like a bright icon paints colour a blank canvas. Sometimes I'm looking for a touch of genius and all I find is the madness. Am I trying to prove or am I trying to improve? What does it matter anyway? I'm blessed to hear and see and say.
Thank you so much. Phyllis Bland. Hey. Yeah, we need a song for Phyllis Bland.
Actually, my guitar is broken at the moment and I can't tune this back up, and I used it because in this song I tuned the low E down to an A and it really fucked up my guitar, really damaged it, and so I, until I get that fixed, I'd be too dangerous to play this song anymore. So yeah, it's really long, it's got a few parts, but I'm only sticking to the first two parts, and it's called Changeling. Lady with black hair and white eyes, she's the most beautiful maiden I ever seen. She put out her hand, I cupped it cold. She took me to land of the folk. Oh, I was spirited away. Oh, oh, I was spirited away. She took me to the land of the pure. Stay young, and the old will know. The lost I found, and I never forgotten. Don't fade to memory. Oh, oh, I was spirited. Should I do? changes up, and I'll put it up on my Facebook page soon. Thank you very much.
Two quick ones to finish. Sean Flynn, please.
So I wrote this for a friend because she's going through kind of something similar to this. So, Myrn, if you're listening to the podcast later on, then hello. It's called A Word to the Obsessive. Say you have a quandary, a person-based obsession, kept awake like a breakless drink session. It's not helping to hear, it's just your head forget it, nor alleviates the strain that seen the movie credits. Because of your wrongs, they'll not have you for a lover, not that you care, but you'll care see no other. So you enter cyberspace for what reality is hiding, maybe to chase down your messages which retain old confidings, and see where that takes you, though you know it's just a chore, with a feeling whose answer is, well, I can't sink any lower. And hey, for us nowadays, obsession is easy. The internet has sharpened our senses so keenly. To know what they're up to, it's Instagram we click, only to find a meal they had in an over-edited pic. But remember the rules of stalker creep etiquette, the do's and don'ts of which you must benefit. That everyone does it, it's fine to admit, but alone and drunk at 3 a.m. is just a little bit. And also don't poke them, they'll feel provoked. And don't in real life, because it's your neck they might choke. It's a real subtle art, this kind of obsession. Rapacious, stupid, hard to forget, and how it hurts to see them take trips, even just a toker. On screen, friends appear close, but these enemies closer. And you know you're acting loopy, but you can't deny that the meme they just posted looks like it's just for your eyes. Some oblique message that aims to defy your happiness now, in the ditch it must lie. But why does it fill you with that feeling so blue, when you know in peace of mind that it just isn't true? You've invented planet crazy through your online obsession. It's time you had counselling from the psychoanalyst profession. They'll help and instruct you in your brain-picking session, that or have you committed for manic depression. But even so, compared to now, it seems the better fare, unless you like starving for attention that just isn't there. Now, a word to the obsessive, if I may implore. How dare you sublet your whole mind to these bores, who tear up the rooms inside and throw heartbreak on the floor. It would do a great deal to get out a bit more, to turn one's attention to a more practical aim, instead of anonymously watering crops in their fucking Farmville game. You're supposed to feel privileged, miraculous, you're alive, not handcuffed to a computer mouse and sitting inside. I mean, come all things to their time and place, but right this moment we haven't a job to waste. You're coming with me, and we're getting out of here. I'll show you the birds, the trees, I'll even buy you a beer. I just want you to know that there's nothing to fear. You'll see what I mean, it'll all become clear. When you see them in real life, it won't taste as bad. That contention is fleeting, it fades like fad. You'll soon learn to love your world and all of that therein. Friends, lovers, despisees, and everything akin. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
Hello. This poem is called Tension. I just, I had an idea in my head for a while to write a poem about basically a thing I get quite a lot, which is in my chest, where I basically cannot do much of anything. So basically, it's like procrastination to a whole other degree, and it's very, very debilitating, and I end up spending days inside and not doing anything. So it's about that. It's very, very short though. So, okay. Attention's built until sewn down, twitching and reddened eyes of tension's grown, to rip and tear the cheeks to the ear until apathy surrenders to reach a stop, a limit, an end.
Okay, so we're going to have a very short poem from Max Greeden to finish this out. And as a deal with the barman who let us stay on later tonight, once this poem and event has finished, we are going to immediately leave this building and say a big thank you to our barman on the way out. Max Greeden, everyone.
I had a happy song, but I do a fast segue. Briefly,
looks the workshop was late going. I said, with a mountain of tumult before I could get in. And they said, with a dog eat your homework. They said, she only knew why I was late. I've put a crapper coming down our mountain because of snow in the past. And this is waiting for the mountain to melt. Waiting for the mountain to melt, I watched your warm kitchen steam. My colleague skates to me across the yard, his glorious silk tuxedo. The ladyboy cat retracts his claws on his windowsill, his balcony of contempt. But I thought of you. Waiting for the mountain to melt, I thought of when I went too soon. Your Atlanto axial spins through the wave that spear tackled you in the Brisbane sun. The chopper brought you home to your matter. I climbed an embankment to order your bed, and then my own. When the mountain did melt, I wrung it out and squeezed it dry. I placed it back in my pericardium, stitched it back inside, and slid back down here to another you. That's it. It's my brother.
It is a great honour to have a word so to have a mouth so pregnant with words that we run out of time, but a huge thank you to everybody.